This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That's right. And happy Thursday to all of you wonderful people in Kansas City. Happy Thursday to Bob Fesco, to Mac Morey. Hell, give it to Steven Spector. Happy Thursday to you as well.
Oh, he's out of town, so he's having a happy Thursday. I'll tell you what.
I'm ready for today.
Are you? You were more excited about coming in today and watching the carnage of Mac melting down than the actual game last night?
I don't want any... I'm not trying to advocate that I'm here to watch full anarchy of Mac Morey.
Oh.
That's not what I'm here to see. I'm here to watch what I think will be a very entertaining show today. Because it's just
so damn perfect sometimes in life. And I know we're going to dive into it a lot today. Hey, by the way, the Royals won again.
Hey, that's good.
That's 14 of their last 16 games they've won.
Winning.
Judging by the text line, though, from Vern's show, they might as well have lost that game last
Yeah, there's
night.
A lot of positivity being thrown Vern's way.
Oh, my God.
A lot of, hey, it's okay. Keep bad teams losing. So I guess some people, it's just not good enough.
Not good enough. And if you're in one of those people that beating the White Sox isn't good enough, go find something else to do with your time because you suck.
Man, I'll winning have the half and half.
I mean, seriously, like you're a baseball nerd
Are
if you're
Are there really
mad.
People upset that they're just winning against bad teams?
It must have been because I looked at the text line from Vern last night. Don't listen to the haters, Vern. It's wins. Mm. Don't listen to the haters, Vern. Like, who's hating on the Royals
so
right
are they
now?
Mad at Bobby Witt Jr. when he hits a home run
they
off
are.
Of a bad pitcher?
They are.
Nah, well, he didn't do that off Skeens, man.
Should have done that off of Scoop. Doesn't count. Yeah. It's off the White Sox. Guy's going to be in AAA next week. Doesn't matter. Nope. Doesn't count. Not going to do it.
So, and I mean, look, I thought my jury duty story was going to make it today. It may not. It may not make it.
Hey, you can save that for tomorrow, right?
That's a good one.
Whenever
That's
you want.
A good one for tomorrow we can get to, yeah.
But last night, man.
Because you may not be the only one in that category.
Dude,
I'll tell you that
you
right
find
now.
This, did you check out
well,
some stuff
I
on this?
I was telling Jen about it because she's got jury duty coming up. But she's on the Kansas side.
Is her real name Jennifer?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so I told her to look in. But Kansas is run by adults, as we know.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Just look at the mayor's situation right now. Can't even keep restaurants happy. How's that going for you, Al?
Oh, Lord. So if you guys are lost in this, the listeners I'm talking to, Mac is a hardcore Celtics fan, hardcore NBA fan, has NBA TV, could tell you probably six deep at least on every single roster in the NBA. Give me the starting five for the Denver Nuggets.
Go.
Michael Kiki Porter Vanderway. Jr., Christian Brown, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and depending on the five they want to play, they'll go either Watson or Russell Westbrook.
Are you looking
depends.
At a box score?
No, he's not.
The game?
who are the three best players for the Houston Rockets?
Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Fred VanVleet.
And then you've got Bob Fesco, who is a gigantic Knicks fan.
Huge.
Who had the window shut to basketball. Bob named me two players on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
SGA.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I get to sit back because here we are. Mr. Basketball himself brought him back to Kansas City to do this show, put my loud ass in here for situations like this. And guys, we got this yesterday. I think. I don't know why it's not working. Binkley must have done something with his computer.
Binkley was looking at the wrong websites again. Huh?
Apparently.
Apparently.
Who wins? Does Boston cover 10.5?
Yeah, I honestly, I was doom and gloom a little bit yesterday. I've had time to think about this and what I just mentioned, some of those stats for the. I think the Celtics are going to get a big win tonight.
See, I'm gonna say the Celtics win just because I want reverse osmosis going on here and
no,
the Knicks
no.
to hear this.
Damn you, Bob.
Damn it.
Some guy in Kansas City said you're not going to win. Oh, no. So we better go win.
No,
so I think Boston does win tonight.
Yeah. Covers the points or no?
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage time.
That is a good point.
Thank you.
But you think it's a assertive win.
Yeah, I feel like it's a 7-10 point win by Boston, like and a 7-10 point type of win that never feels close for the Knicks. That's just my feeling going into this one. Like again, they're still the defending champs. It's like betting against Patrick Mahomes. You're stupid if you do, right,
fellas? How are we feeling this morning?
Well, I mean, it was feeling pretty good for a while. I mean, when they took the first three off the board for the Knicks at the beginning of the game, I'm like, okay, this is not going to go in their favor tonight. And then, you know, you've got the opportunity for, you know, the Boston Celtics to lead. Boston has led for 81 minutes and 4 seconds of this series. The Knicks have led for 12 minutes and 15 seconds. I don't think the Knicks had a lead until about a minute to go last night in that game and then ended up winning because, again, coaching, then that guy on the sidelines, Joe Montana or whatever his name is, that guy's ass. I mean, there is no other way to say it. The head coach of the Boston Celtics is hot ass. No. And I mean,
you can't disagree more with you.
25 of 100 now of shooting the 3-point shot
That's
in two
on Joe.
Consecutive games. That's on Joe.
Wide open threes.
12 seconds to go in a game. You don't call a timeout when you have one remaining. You're taking that home and using that to buy
Absolutely.
Dunkin' Donuts.
We can, is I he will trading, kill Joe for is that. He, I am mad at
is
Joe
he,
Mazzulla.
Is he trading his timeout for a dozen Dunkin'? I mean, like, what's he doing with that extra timeout? Is he keeping that in his back pocket and saving it
I
for good?
Agree with
like
that.
My grandmother who saved all her clothes for good and then died and all the clothes still had 10 tags on them. Like, what are we doing? What are we saving for good for timeouts? And then, oh, not only did you not call a timeout, you ran the exact same play. You ran the prior possession, and the Knicks were ready for it and shoved it right in your face. It's coaching. He sucks. He is an absolute train wreck as a coach. This is a big game situation. That guy blows chunks, and the Boston Celtics ought to fire his ass. That guy is a criminal coach on the sidelines right now, and he's costing his team the opportunity to win games, and so is his analytic department. And any analytic department out there that starts costing teams the ability to win games should be blown up. Analytic departments are scams. They're money grabs. That's all they are. And we're watching it right now. We're watching it right now. They continue to shoot the 3-point shot when it's not working.
We shot more twos in the fourth quarter too.
10 of 40 from shooting the 3-point shot last night. That's making one out of every four. There's no reason. I don't know what they were for two. Drive inside.
We did.
Go inside. Get the ball inside. Stop shooting 43-point shots in a game. That's a lot of 3-point shots in a game. It's not working. You're 25 of 100. That's coaching. Stop shooting the three. But some nerd upstairs is going, continue to shoot the three. It's all going to even itself out.
The Celtics didn't have a field goal percentage below 36.5 in any game this season or in the Orlando season. So far against the Knicks. Game one, 35%. Game two, 36. Without hyperbole, these two shooting performances are the worst of the season. This is not an anomaly. This is not unprecedented. This is mind-boggling what we are watching, and it has no toll on Joe Mazzulla at all. Bob, these are wide-open shots. These are wide open threes.
Tell your team, you got to tell your, but so what? If they're not hitting them, that's where the coach has to say, all right, this isn't working. If Patrick Mahomes was going out there and airmailing Travis Kelce and throwing him in the dirt to Rashee Rice, Andy Reid's going to go, all right, something's not working today. We've got to get to plan B. The problem
City blames Matt Nagy.
Oh, Matt Nagy's fault. That's right. It's Nagy's fault.
I love that analogy. I'll play off that later.
Kind of,
yeah. But they'll blame Nagy because,
it's Zumwalt's fault the players don't hit.
Yeah, that's right. It's Zumi's fault, yeah, that the players don't hit. But when you're in a situation as a head coach, if something isn't working in your building, in your office, anywhere, and you're the head coach, you're the manager, you're the boss of that situation, you got to pause things and say, hey, guys, things aren't working right now. Let's readjust. Let's have a plan B. Here's what we're going to do. Bag the 3-point shot. Let's work on getting it inside. Let's take the easy shots. Let's go inside and shoot the ball from a high percentage area on the floor, and let's score some buckets. Let's gain some confidence. There's none of that. That guy is an empty suit on the sidelines, okay? that Mottola guy, he stands over there and he looks in the sky and he's thinking about the Red Sox playing tonight. And Mike Vrabel's there. He's probably getting an autograph.
So does Homer Simpson get credit for why the Knicks are winning then?
Not so much. Maybe. I guess you could give him credit because he kept his team in it. They're down 20, man. Like, you're down 20 in two games on the road, and they kept showing highlights of him talking to his team and some of the stuff that he's saying.
He's
hey, one possession, one time. The hair is pretty bad.
He gels it.
I know.
That's what I'm
If you're
he gels those three straights.
Yeah.
Combs it.
A nice
let
brush.
Let it go.
Oh, yeah.
It is
time to let it go. It is.
That's who CeeDee Lamb was waving to.
Yeah. Hey, let that hair go up there. But they show him in the huddle talking and keeping his team calm. I do. I think you're a reflection of your leadership, man. And so, if you're going to give these coaches credit for when teams win, you've got to give them credit for when teams lose. And what bothers me about this guy is that there just doesn't appear to be a plan B. And the two games that I've watched, with this guy coaching in playoff type situations, he's looked like a frozen man on the sidelines that didn't know what to do when things gone wrong. He just doesn't seemingly have a plan B. Or if he does and they're not listening to him, that's a problem too.
Mac, how you feeling about your guys' chances going into the game three at 2:30?
I mean,
you like really doom and gloom now?
I mean, I'm pretty doom and gloom. I'm disgusted with my team, and not with Joe Mazzulla, with the players. This is on the players. These are wide open shots.
Yeah.
And we did adjust. We shot a lot less 3-pointers last night.
Which is 20 weird.
Less. Not one Celtic has more than 2 field goals in the fourth quarter.
Which is weird too, because you figured you'd have a really big advantage. Why is this
computer not playing?
Binkley.
Yeah, they don't have Larry Bird walking through that door, okay?
No, they've got the sixth leading scorer in playoff history for the Celtics. That's Jason Tatum. He'll be fifth. He'll be actually fourth after this playoffs is over. So, yeah, they've got Larry Bird's son, Jason Tatum.
If Jason Tatum could show up at any point, then know that this series has started.
Tatum, man.
Is he playing?
I mean,
he had a lot of rebounds last night.
Yeah, great job, buddy. Yeah. Great job. 5 assists. That's awesome, bro.
Where are we at, JT?
It's insane. I don't know, but good job by the Knicks, I think, for a lot of it. But also, like, yeah, he's afraid to shoot. He doesn't look himself. This is a guy who scored at least 35 points in three straight games against what was the second best defense for all of the NBA. Last series
does
against
he have
the Magic.
The yips?
Can I ask you a question? Is he a free agent at the end of the season?
Oh, no.
No, he just signed a huge max deal.
He's locked. Okay. Yeah, the dude's locked in.
So, well,
is he tradable if they like Jaylen? Like,
No.
But what if Jaylen Brown is the reason they come back and tie? Let's say.
Who's been bad, too?
Right. Yeah. Nobody's been good for the Knicks.
For
Porzingis was okay last night.
What's going on with him, though, man? Like,
he's just a weird.
Sucks, man.
He's just a weird player,
the
man.
The sickness is not. Yeah, we don't know what's going on. He gave us a nice spurt in the second half.
I thought he was pretty good last night.
He had a good 5-minute spurt, but again, you didn't see him again.
Yeah.
Well, recharge your batteries, boys, because we're going to continue this conversation on the other side, because Saturday at 2:30 should be electric. By the way, I will compare Jack Caglione to Patrick Mahomes a little bit later today, so just buckle up for that as well. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Larry Bird walking through that door, okay?
No, they've got the sixth leading scorer in playoff history for the Celtics. That's Jason Tatum. He'll be fifth. He'll be actually fourth after this playoffs is over. Mm. So, yeah, they've got Larry Bird's son, Jason. One for seven in the fourth for Jason Tatum. 5 for 19 from the field. Complete brick show.
Are we going to talk about Bridges in his fourth quarter?
Amazing.
Nash Bridges?
14 points, all of them that he scored in the fourth quarter, and then a nice play on defense at the end. See, that was the other thing. Boston doesn't help the narrative of the NBA doesn't play defense. You're up 20 with 3:12 to go in the third, and then you allow the Knicks to go on a 21-4 run. How about stepping in front of somebody?
Here's Joe Mazzulla's postgame conference.
Joe, what happened there in the last 5 minutes?
Well,
it just seemed like you guys couldn't score. Yeah. And they just made every play.
Yeah, they made every play. And like I said, even you know, throughout the end of that third, the fourth quarter, I thought we generated some good looks. And then I thought we had some live ball turnovers, and they took advantage of it. So they made the necessary plays to win. You know, we put ourselves in position to do that, and we just didn't make the plays.
You guys, two days off. How do you respond from this? This is just another blown 20-point lead, exactly your worst nightmare. How do you come back from this?
Yeah, I mean, you just take a look at it, figure out where you have to be better, and you know, put a full 48 minutes together. So I have an understanding that it's going to be difficult, but, you know, that's why we do what we do, and figure out where we have to get better and do that.
Joe, what was the thought process with not calling timeout there with 12 seconds left?
I had one left, got a good look on the exact same play.
Use the game
20 seconds earlier, tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on the last Tatum dunk. So
that's garbage.
Good full court setting. They subbed out Towns, weren't able to sub out Brunson, had action there, and just didn't execute.
Guys, I don't know if you know this. I'm just a puppet for the general manager and the analytics people upstairs, and they tell me what to do.
He's won a title last year.
What is he going to do with that extra time? Is he using that in game three? Do you get to carry that over? Or, you know, is that used for toll money on the way home? Did you give the toll booth operator a time?
He better pay that toll, or he's going to get a text message that says you better pay your license.
It's
your real license.
Yeah, they're going to take away your license if you
anybody
don't pay
else
a toll.
Get that text message?
Everybody's getting it, right? The best part about it is they're sending it to Missouri numbers. There's not one toll road in the state of Missouri. Okay, so you better have paid. Not that you couldn't have been on, but it's a scam. It's a scam. Yeah, it is an absolute scam. So if you're getting the pay your toll text message that everybody's getting, delete, ignore that thing.
So let's have a grown up conversation, because like Bob and I were talking this morning, like I couldn't believe, and Max the same way, because Max said in a different way than we did. You and I both said carbon copy mirror image of game one was what we saw in game two, and you wouldn't have put your life on it.
No,
like you wouldn't have bet anything.
Not at all.
Right. And then Mac says at about midway through the third quarter, he's watching the game last night. Gotta have the strongest fiance in the city of Overland Park. And God bless Hannah last night, because I know you're a wreck. And he goes, I started watching that. I said, this game won all over again. Where I was sitting there and slowly falling into this same, you know, world that Mac was in, where I'm like, okay, it's 20. This is what it was in game one. Okay, it's 17. Okay, now it's 11. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, it's a six-point game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is exactly what we saw in game one. And then Bridges is the defensive stop for the Knicks at the end of the game, who was the one who took the ball from Jaylen Brown at the end of the game in game one. It's nuts. It's weird when sports work this way. It's planets align up because there's, you know, New York roots over here. There's fandom since they were under the age of, you know, 11 for Boston over here. And then there's me who just wants to watch entertaining and fun sports. Mm-hmm. And I get it all. And you guys, obviously, one of your teams going to win, one of your teams going to lose. But to say that you would have seen the exact same game and the exact same outcome that you saw in game one last night. I mean, I played the copy for you guys. You both had Boston winning.
Yeah.
You both had Boston covering 10.5.
Yeah,
it didn't happen.
No, but like, because who would have thought you would have seen the exact same thing? And at one point, I texted you, like, are they rerunning the game from Monday night?
Yeah.
Like, honest
to
God, I thought they were like somebody hit a button at the Turner Studios and they just started rerunning Monday's game because it was the exact same game. I mean, it was the exact same game. And that's why I have a problem with the coach. You've got to see these things coming. You've got to factor in the human side of things. You've got to understand and have a feel for your players. It doesn't feel to me that he has a feel for his players and his team out there. How do you allow the same thing to happen again? Two nights in a row. You know, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's exactly what the Boston Celtics did on Wednesday night. It was the exact same type of game. The Knicks saw it. They knew exactly what was coming, and they went out there, and they flipped the switch with 3:12 to go. I mean, you got to give the Knicks a lot of credit in this one, to continue to keep fighting and for playing defense, because they did. Boston get in the way of somebody, take a foul, who knows, whatever the case may be, send that guy to the line who airballed free throws. Like, they should have been hack-a-shack that guy all night long when he was in the game.
I disagree.
And I know they were subbing that guy out and whatnot, but
I kind of don't like that for the game.
I actually think that lost us the game.
You do.
You guys
that
got
guy
the bonus.
The free
you guys
throw?
Got in the bonus with 2.5 minutes left in the game.
That's a fair point.
Jalen Brunson hit those free throws.
Yeah.
To go up one. That's what won the game. That's another coaching malpractice. If you want to mention Joe Mazzulla, I can hate on Joe this morning. There's no question. Joe is not without faults after these two games, but it is not for the reasons I believe that you believe with the shooting. But what we just heard in his comments, oh, well, that play worked 20 seconds ago. Hey, these are professional athletes.
Stupid.
What the hell are you talking about?
You never go back to the well like
what?
That. That play worked. That was great.
Hey, Wasp, just worked.
Yeah, let's run it again, right?
I was dumbfounded when I heard him say that.
Yeah.
That is inexcusable. You just ran the
pissed.
Same play.
Well, you don't seem dumbfounded. You seem pissed that I heard him say that.
But that, again, that's why he's an idiot. You know, like you run the same play again.
That was idiotic.
Just saw it. They literally just saw it. It's fresh in their minds. Oh, here it comes again.
Here we go.
Okay, we know what they're doing. Put my arms up. Get it to kick out. Here comes Bridges. Block the shot. Game two over, just like game one was over. Like, the Knicks saw it coming. You've got to be smarter than your opponent. You've got to be better than your opponent.
Did the Knicks win because Karl-Anthony Towns was the best player on the floor, or because Derek White was the team leading points last night for the Celtics?
I mean, if I had to choose, it'd be because of Cat. I thought Cat was massive.
He was fantastic.
He kept him in the game in the first half.
He really did. I mean, he was big.
16
big dunks
points,
and,
rebounds. Yeah,
he was all over
defense.
The place. He was fantastic last night. But you're right. That guy that looks like that Martian guy that you sent this, right? Like, I mean, that can't be your leading score. Your stars got to play big in big moments. Like, let's look at all the sports that we've watched over the last 10 years here in Kansas City. The big moments happen. Who are the stars? We're not, as much as we should have been talking about Damian Williams being the MVP, it was Patrick Mahomes with Wasp. It was Tyreek Hill making the play. It's Travis Kelce coming up with the big plays. It's Chris Jones on defense coming up with big stops and batting balls down and doing all of that kind of stuff. It's Nick Bolton making big plays. Your stars need to be stars on the biggest of stages. And that's why the Chiefs won Super Bowls, but it's also why the Chiefs lost Super Bowls. Look at the last Super Bowl against the Eagles, right? Patrick Mahomes wasn't a star in that game. Travis Kelce sure as hell wasn't a star in that game. Nobody on defense was a star in that game. But look at what Philadelphia did. A.J. Brown was a star in that game. Jalen Hurts was a star in that game. That defensive line was a star in that game. When you play these big moments in these big games, your stars need to be your stars. And if your stars aren't your stars on the biggest stage, then you're not going to win. And to your point, yes, does it matter about the coaching? It does to an extent, but also your players have to go out there and be your stars. And the Royals don't win the World Series in 2015 if the stars of that team, HDH, don't get the job done when it matters most. If they can't close out those games, or if Hosmer doesn't have that mad dash as your star, or Lorenzo Cain doesn't come through as one of your stars in those games. You have got to have your stars be your stars. And Boston stars have not been their stars in the last two games.
And to be fair, White and Brown were both game high with 20, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You got to take over these games, man. Mahomes is
awesome, but yeah.
No, he's awesome, but he can't be your leading scorer.
I don't know. I agree.
He's your third man on
third best player. Yeah, I agree. I agree. You're right. All intents and purposes, there are games that are different. But yeah, the Jays combined for 5 points in the second half. They both went 1-for-7 in the second half, 2-for-14 combined. It was abysmal, embarrassing.
He called them the Jays.
Yeah, like, South Lantosa.
Yeah, Jays. Because they're out of service. You had to tow them to New York. 7-9-6-5.
Speaking of the text line. The 816, Knicks are playing their absolute best basketball. If the Celtics can find their A game from beginning to end, Knicks cannot hang with them. They look like regular season Chiefs right now. Wake up, Celtics.
Well, that's a good text. It really is. And you know, going in now to game three of this series, I mean, you know, we can talk about who it's a must win for. I think it's a must win for the Knicks because I'm living in that world now where I don't want to give now the Celtics any sort of hope whatsoever, right? This is now one of those situations. They're on the brink. If you're the Knicks, do not let them get back into this thing and give them any sort of confidence. This game three now on Saturday is one of those put your foot on the throat, step on their neck, let them bleed out. That's what you have to do if you're the Knicks. Because I still believe, I've watched enough sports over the years, good teams eventually figure it out. And if you give them an opening, they may kick down that door. And the Knicks can't give the Celtics an opening now because they still are the defending champs. They still have great players. But if the Knicks go out there and pummel Boston early, maybe they go into a shell and they're never able to come back. And then it's a 3-0 New York lead. And then you're this close. Nothing's over. Nothing is over. No, the Yankees are up three games. We've seen Chiefs down 24. We've seen all kinds of things in sports. Nothing is over anymore till it's over, man.
Plus, Adam Silver's seen how entertaining these two games have been. And he's got somebody's ear going, you better make this go seven.
Oh, there's a meeting with the officials in New York, I guarantee you, tomorrow going, all right, here's what we need to have happen. The ratings have been tremendous for these series. We got to make sure we keep it close. Swallow a whistle here or there. Let's see what
they're letting
them
play, man.
They are letting them play.
It was nice. Go back to your Andy Reid analogy with this Joe Mazzulla thing. I think he did adjust. They shot 20 less three-pointers. At this point, I believe people mad at Joe Mazzulla for the three-point misses are people being mad at Chiefs wide receivers for dropping, or people being mad at Andy Reid for Chiefs wide receivers dropping open passes. Guys are open. They're not hitting shots. They're not catching the football. The coach has done everything he can. I'm giving you wide open mid-range jump shots.
I don't think anybody was ever mad at Andy for Kadarius.
Well, but I'm saying it's the same logic. You're getting mad. No, people were mad at Matt Nagy for that year for the offense. Absolutely. They were very upset with Matt Nagy.
Everybody blames Matt for everything.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You're blaming Joe for warm-up Jays. He's scheming you wide open.
Maybe he is. That's not the point. You've got to understand the human side of things. This is not about stats. This is not about X's and O's. This is about being a manager and understanding your people and having a pulse on the people that work for you. And they're taking open J's and they're missing them, right? That tells me maybe their legs are tired. Maybe they've been through so much for the regular season and it's now catching up with them. Because if you're leaving guys in the NBA wide open, God, they should hit 80% of those shots. That's how good NBA players are. They're phenomenal, phenomenal basketball players. If you're taking, because I'm watching the highlights now, there were a lot of wide open shots. And so they're not hitting wide open shots. That's the coach taking it to the next level and being a manager of people and understanding your people and your players and your personnel and saying, God, he just doesn't have it today. All right, here's what we're going to do. Your legs are a little bit tired. I get it. Let's get it inside. Let's take some easier shots. I'm going to take the pressure off of you because I see you're leaving shots short, or you're hitting the back of the iron, or you're hitting the side of the rim. Clearly, it's not working for you tonight, so I need to remove you from that situation. That's what good coaches do. That's what good managers do, bosses do. They understand their people. It's not about the stats. It's not about the X's and O's. You've got to understand your dudes, and when they're missing shots and everything is off, you've got to figure out this is not a schematic thing. This is a human thing. And he hasn't realized that. And that's pathetic.
27.8% from mid-range for the series, 30% in the paint for the series. They're not hitting Jack Diddley.
They're not hitting anything.
Jack Diddley.
They're not hitting anything.
They're missing layups.
They're missing a lot, but so are the Knicks. It wasn't like exactly an offensive display in the first part of that game.
No, and I agree with you with the defense. In the second half, there are multiple times where there'll just be five possessions in a row where the Celtics just seemingly kind of defensively just don't really give effort. I don't know if it's effort. I don't know what it is. But I agree with you. There are defensive lapses in this team.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you can blame threes and you can blame coaching, but I can tell you right now, the Celtics will go into game three with the exact same game plan they've had the last two games. They will continue to shoot because they are a team like Iowa State in the big tournaments, right? Iowa State averages 88 points a game. They go into a tournament. They win their first two games. Everyone's like, here's that team. They play a team like Cincinnati in the Sweet 16, and they lose by 18. Everybody goes, how'd they lose? Well, they went 9 of 35 from the arc. Oh, that's what got you there. That's what you're going to live and die by. I'm fine with it. I think that's what the Celtics will do, because if they go out into the Garden on Saturday at 2:30 in the afternoon and Tatum's got 35 and Brown hits six threes and Pritchard's out there making it rain and they win the game 121-99, all of a sudden that shift is going to go right back over and be like, see, that's the team that they can be.
Right.
That's why you keep doing it. And then the Knicks fans will start to be like, oh, boy, I hope I didn't wake up a sleeping giant. And then all of a sudden,
right. 2-0 lead is not a safe lead at all. It is an absolute must-win game for both teams on Saturday.
I mean, you have house money in your pocket. Like, right now, the Knicks could get up and walk away, cash in, and go win the rest of this. Or they could F around and find out. And that's where we're at right now. Yeah. And I think that's the best part about this whole thing, because it's like, hey, look, here we go. Game three in the Garden, on Saturday at 2:30. I cannot wait. I mean, it's going to be absolutely electric. And this is why we need more of this.
Right.
Like,
it's
this
true.
This is fun.
Like, I
get it's playoffs, but I mean, this is fun.
But it is. But the NBA so postseason has been spectacular, right? Save a couple of games here or there. For the most part, it's been spectacular.
Electric.
The National Hockey League playoffs have been spectacular this year. People are watching. And then you get to the regular season and nobody pays attention to anything, right? I don't know if we'll ever get the regular season interest in every other sport other than the NFL ever. But when you get to the postseason and you see this display that's going on both in hockey and in basketball, as a lover of sports, as a fan of sports, you've got to enjoy what's going on right now, because they're giving you great games. They're giving you great moments. They're giving you, oh my gods. They're giving you unbelievable. They're giving you wow. Like, the NBA and the NHL are freaking delivering right now on their playoffs. Now, we always say, how do we continue that into the regular season? Summer will happen. We'll forget about these sports. We'll move on. And nobody will remember about basketball until Christmas time when the NFL's on, right?
Oh.
That's just kind of the way that it works. And the playoffs will get here again. We'll have some more good games. We'll be like, how do we do this again in the regular season? You don't, but you have to maximize this right now. And the NBA has done a nice job of giving the sports fan, us as a collective group, the sports fan, great moments. Hockey has done a great job of giving us as sports fans great moments so far in these postseason games. It's been wild, man. It's been great.
I mean, they got Winterhorse up, showered, combed his hair, and put a suit on in the hotel, blinds open.
Damn.
Real quickly, speaking of enjoying the moment, I don't know if you guys have been, you know, keeping your eyes glued to Caglione, but I had a come to Dusty moment yesterday driving home from the station. I think he's rookie year Patrick Mahomes, not first year starter Patrick Mahomes. I think he's rookie year Patrick Mahomes because
I can get with that.
You knew what you got. You got in Caglione, massive of a man from Florida, you know, two-time All-American, smart kid. Drafted sixth overall, Mahomes 10th. And what you had to tell yourself was, this is the future. This is not now. And I can give you the stats. I'll have them updated on the board here and eventually. But right now in Double A, in 112 at bats, Caglione is hitting .330. He's got an OPP of .409. He's got a slug of .598. Disgusting. He's got a OPS of 1,007, right? So 8 home runs, 6 doubles, 31 RBI. 112 at bats, 32 strikeouts. Bit high there. That's fine. Like, power hitters strike out, power pitchers give up the long ball.
I mean, Aaron Judge had 3 strikeouts last night. He's only hitting .400 now. Strikeouts aren't as bad, allegedly, as they used to be in baseball, or frowned upon. It's like missing threes. It's fine.
And I think the reason why I think he's Alex Smith, I think he's Patrick Mahomes in Mahomes' rookie year is we're not going to get to see the full experiment. Now, where we got to see one game of Patrick Mahomes is, I think, the equivalent of what? A month of baseball, maybe? Or maybe like
10 days. Yeah.
So 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we might get to see that on August 15th. And Caglione gets called up to be an addition to the playoff roster. And he might hit two or three home runs in that short stint until the playoffs start. Like when we watched that game of Patrick Mahomes against Denver, and you're like, oh my God, see, I knew it. This was going to happen. But the time and the preparation and all of that, like you say, you can't open your Christmas gifts until Christmas morning. You don't get one on Christmas Eve. You wait until the morning. Caglione's going to go to AAA eventually. He's destroying AA. But Mahomes eventually is going to be your starter. And when you do this and you give it time and you let it be polished, look at what it can be. I'm not saying that Caglione's going to come in here and be a perennial MVP, but maybe he's going to be part of a roster and be a big piece as to get you over that edge, because everybody says, where is that bat? Where is that, you know, postseason run? When does that happen? Well, imagine if you do have Pasquantino, Bobby Witt Jr., Caglione all hitting in consecutive order with Michael Garcia and Jonathan India, and maybe Drew Waters continues to keep it up. All of a sudden, that lineup gets bigger and more trusted and more, I don't know, more powerful. But again, it's like Patrick Mahomes being Alex Smith's backup. It's going to be that way for a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, if you're a studier of history and whatnot, look back at what Bobby Witt did and how long he was in the minors. He was essentially in the minor leagues for one full season, mm-hmm. right? Because of the COVID nonsense and all this kind of crap. And he had the at-bats. He had essentially one huge full season down in the minor leagues. And it worked for Bobby Witt Jr., right? And that was a good thing. Bobby Witt's a perennial MVP candidate right now. Same thing to your analogy, which I like a lot, is that the Patrick Mahomes analogy. They sat him for an entire year. He turned into an MVP. Bobby Witt essentially had an entire full year in the minor leagues. He's basically turned into an MVP. I'm not saying Jack Caglione is going down that route, but you've got the two best players in the city in a very long time, maybe combined ever, and they both spent that time in the quote-unquote minor leagues, and they weren't rushed. And I think it was beneficial for them. Patrick will tell you the best thing that ever happened to him, outside of Alex Smith, obviously, was sitting for that entire year and learning. And I'm sure Bobby Witt would say the best thing for him was staying down in the minor leagues when we all thought it. Because I remember asking Matheny all the time, when are you bringing Bobby up? When are you bringing Bobby up? When are you bringing Bobby up? Oh, we'll bring him up eventually, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes in baseball. Everything mm-hmm. is, you know, slow played. But your analogy is really good, and it really makes a lot of sense. And I think that's the great way to look at this thing, is that Jack Caglione will be here, and he looks like he's going to be a pretty good player for this organization. And the more time that he can have to learn and understand what he has to do to not only come up to the major league level, but then to stay at the major league level and then be a successful major league player, mm-hmm. you can only learn that with time. And that was the best thing that they ever did with Patrick Mahomes, was sitting him for that first year. I mean, it was a brilliant move. They had the luxury to do that. Mm-hmm. The Royals kind of have a luxury to do that right now with Jack Caglione. You don't need to bring him up here and save the franchise or any of that kind of stuff. You know, let him get his sea legs under him. Let him do his thing. You get to the playoffs again this year. You bring him up next year. He's inserted into the lineup, and boom, let's see what happens.
Royals are winners of 14 of their last 16, hoping to be 15 of their last 17 today. The game at 1:10 at the K. Mac Morey will be there cheering him on because he has something that he can actually cheer for. I kid. I'm sorry.
Is that what he's doing now? He's done with big basketball.
See, yeah. That's what I thought a great bit would be. We start talking basketball, and then Mac kills our mics, goes, so yesterday the Royals, yes, they win. You know
you
what
should.
I mean?
No, yeah, absolutely you one. Should. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this now, but Dusty brought up Michael Garcia hitting leadoff. Yeah. Last night, it's first two at-bats, double single. I'm kidding.
He was only a triple and a homer away from the cycle last night,
man.
Too.
You know the last Royal to do was George Brett? Couldn't believe it.
The last Royal to do anything is George Brett, it feels like. Bobby's starting to maybe take some of those, but it's kind of funny. Like, the last Royal to do this, George Brett.
Hey, it would go, man. Coming up, refs at Bob's game. Absolutely get the fans in a frenzy, and maybe the cops get involved. Who knows?
Oh,
let him explain.
There.
Here on the other side, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what go up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Ever this generic rock bump.
It's a good one right there. Hey, happy birthday in order for Coca-Cola today. Did you know that? The first Coca-Cola was served on this day in 1886.
And it had cocaine in it.
It did. The last time cocaine had, or cocaine, coke had cocaine in it was 1929. They went from 1886 to 1929 loading up that soft drink with blow.
Dude, I love this drink, but my mouth is numb every time I drink it. Can't explain. It must be the fizz. Yeah, definitely.
Hey, he's no longer around, Fizz. Don't blame it on him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fizz is still around.
It's not, yeah, he's out in Colorado. Yeah.
There's a drive way back. And pop fly to second base. He does love his vino and fires, though. I know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah.
So you had an ordeal, like a Halliburton, no? Or was it a ref that got bigger than the game moment?
Yeah,
with,
it was. It was the ref that got bigger than the game moment. I think that's a great way to put it. We're at soccer on Saturday. Or
hate
not Saturday.
That ref. Hate that ref.
Well, everybody knows this guy because this is now the second time that this guy's pulled this stunt. Tuesday night, we're having soccer, and it's JV soccer, so it's not like it's the end of the world or anything like that. And all of a sudden, the ref starts screaming into the crowd, "Who said that? Who said that?" Now, I'm in the crowd, mind you, and there's not a lot of people at this JV soccer game. I'm like, the hell is this guy talking about? All of a sudden, one of the fathers from the other team screams out, "All seven of us said it. That's who." And this guy's barking at the, you know, at the crowd. Like, he started it. It wasn't like the parents. If the parents had started this kind of stuff, I would have been like, okay, the parents got to calm this thing down. Stop yelling at the referee. This is now the second time in about 6 weeks that we've seen this referee yell at the crowd for no apparent reason. And so he's yelling at the crowd, screaming for athletic directors, screaming for the police to get over there, stopping down the game. Afterwards, my daughter goes, "What was that all about?" I said, "I think it was about the referee trying to show that he's got some sort of power out here, out there on the field." And I said to her as well, I said, "He was in the wrong tonight. But all these referees are so skittish because they've been abused by so many fans over the years that the littlest thing now is going to set these guys and gals off," which I don't necessarily blame them. But at certain times, it can't be about the ref show, and you do have to let things go. Parents are going to have moments where they're not happy with the calls. It happens. That is part of life. That is part of sports. That's kind of the job you signed up for when you became a referee. If somebody goes, "Oh, come on, ref, that wasn't a good call," there's nothing wrong with that. If they get abusive, if they come onto the field, if they start calling you names, if they start making it personal, if they follow you to your car, which has happened, that's all different stuff. But if somebody's upset with a call, it's okay to say, "I'm not happy with that call," and have kind of, I don't want to say constructive yelling, but where you have those moments because you're caught up in the moment. You're watching your kid or your team play and something happens and you don't like the call. We all do. We've all been there. The referee's got to handle these things better. But again, it goes back to the parents having to be better as well, because for over the years, they've brutalized these referees. And now the littlest of things is calling this guy to stop down a game, get athletic directors involved and have the police go over for something that didn't need to be talked about.
Hey, he's like scarred.
Yeah.
He's like PTSD. He's nervous.
He is.
But he's in the wrong.
But he was 100% in the wrong. And I would blame the parents if I like, because I will. Yeah, I mean, I blame my wife all the time. The parents are out of hand, right? Stop. You can't be yelling, right? You got to not yell. And the referee's got to be better as well, too. I think it is a symbiotic type of relationship. Yes, parents can get out of hand, but also referees have to understand sometimes they do miss a call. And when you're watching your kid, you're caught up in that emotion. And sometimes you're going to say, "Hey, that was a bad call." And that's okay to say that. It's okay to criticize if you do it in the right way.
Yeah, I think the problem that we got with where it got interrupted, you know, is because I help my buddy coach his daughter's soccer team. And what I would notice is that, like, for some reason, like, certain people forget that they're talking like grown up to grown up. Like, if you go up to a referee and you pick the timing, because I saw both instances happen. One was a call wasn't right. And the other coach, like, when there was a dead ball and a substitution, he was like, "Hey," he's like, "You call that whatever earlier. Like, I'm just trying to get some clarification why you call that." And the ref was like, "Well, what I saw from my perspective was this." And then the coach was like, "Okay, like, I just don't think that was right." And he's like, "Well, if it wasn't, you know, I sincere." And that was how it was. It was that's like fine. Men handling business with, like, men.
Right.
And then there's another instance where, you know, you've got this, you know, tool bag over here coaching his daughter's team, one, looking like an ass.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Two, talking to the referee like they don't belong on the same surface of the earth, and you're never going to win anything that way. And I also understand like why refs would be like scarred by that, because it's like, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, you know, can't get fooled again, sort of mentality. But it's like, yeah, I mean, there are levels, like you can't have like, you know, that quick of a trigger where
no,
it's like 911, what's your emergency? Overland Park again.
But it wasn't like, yeah, like it wasn't to the point where any other parent, because the other parents are going, what did they say? Like what's going on here? What happened? Like, and you're all pretty close. It's not a big set of bleachers. You're just sitting there like,
but what's funny is this has been happening since like the dawn of time.
Oh yeah, it has been.
Because
yeah,
some people, like, I get it. And I always feel like it's always the parents of like maybe the like they're forcing it for their kid. Maybe not the vicariously ones all the time, because those are the ones that can be the worst too.
This is high school level though, yeah, you know, so it's different than the rec league stuff, yeah, you know, on a Saturday afternoon. This is a high school official. But you got to be better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know like what qualifies you to be a high school official. I mean, I thought about officiating once.
A class.
Is that all it is? Like Saturday day?
Yeah, it's like an 8-hour Saturday. You go and do it. And I've seen this referee say to people, if you want to do it, go sign up for the class. Like, that's the kind of stuff you don't need to do. That's an antagonist.
So he's kind
right?
of a martyr.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Because this is now, like I said, the second time that this has been involved, and they had to have the cops walk over. I almost felt bad for the Olathe Police Department. Like, come on. We don't need to be doing this. Like, there was nothing going on in the crowd that needed to be addressed. But people are so on edge. I mean, look, we were going to talk about this Pittsburgh incident. I don't know if anybody saw what went on in Pittsburgh where this fan spit blood on an usher and he took his belt off and beat the crap out of the guy with his belt, you know, because this guy was behaving like a fool. What a year for Pittsburgh baseball, by the way. You know, the wall with Clemente, the paver blocks with everybody, but he's got their pavers with their, I love my father here, I'm going to put it in front of the ballpark. They put them in a dump. Guy falls off the wall, and then you got another guy spitting blood, getting his ass kicked by a guy with a belt. Like
Paul Skeens bobblehead line.
Yeah. Like, that's what's happened in Pittsburgh this year from a baseball standpoint. And I hope the usher who beat that guy with the belt gets a raise, because no adult, no human being should ever have to be subjected to being spit on by another human being, especially spit on with blood. And I credit that guy all kinds of credit, man, for taking that belt off and beating that son of a gun.
Mm.
I mean, you're fighting with a woman at the concession stand, which turns into a mess, and then you spit blood on somebody, and then they beat you with a belt. Good for you.
Yeah, that's got to be, like, really, you know, just hurtful to the personality and to the ego.
I mean, you can imagine being a grown man at a game getting beat by another grown man with a belt?
And I'd
beat
like,
that ass.
I feel like that guy was, like, probably, what, like, maybe 21? Like, that security guard didn't look old.
He didn't look that old, no.
But he'd had enough. Like, he told the guy to get out of there. The guy kept, like, puffing his chest. He gave him a Ricky Henderson real quick, a steal in the shot, and then he gave another one. The guy was like, thanks for making me bleed.
Yep.
and like kept spitting on. He's like, all right, well, I'm about to beat this guy's ass, take my belt off here, treat you like a child.
And did. He treated him just like a kid that he was. Don't mess with people, man.
Just be better. Just be better humans in the world. That's what we need. Coming up, want to talk about this because there's power rankings coming out in the NFL, where the receivers rank and where the tight ends rank, because is this the year that we get to agree with Robin Carrington about Kelsey being washed?
I don't know, Dusty.
96.5 The Fan, you're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.